It's very beautiful sikha we're learning, very, very deep. I'll try to backtrack a little bit and give some more background to what we're learning. Let's take a child who's into toys. And the child, child loves a certain toy. We're on page 24, Eisvav. Child loves a certain toy. So the child knows which toys are in, which toys are not in. And he speaks to an adult, and the adult says to him, for me, both toys are the same. The child thinks he's out of his mind, because the child knows this toy is not comparable at all to other toy. But for the adult, both toys are meaningless. Let's say in food, someone says, this food is geschmack, this food is terrible. He's a foodie. So for someone else who's not into food, not into things that he eats. So if someone's into good character and into kindness, and so this is, for him, both foods are the same. It doesn't matter what food it is, and so that's how everyone has their parameters of good and not good. What's in their world good and not good, and things which are not in their parameters are could be meaningless, the difference between one and the other. So when we talk about Hashem, who's beyond all parameters and definitions, Shilas Achiv, you can't say what Hashem is or what he isn't. So when we learned yesterday that Hashem says, the Talmud says, I don't know what Hashem wants. Does Hashem want mitzvahs or does Hashem want averis? And the answer is that Hashem saw the light was good and he desires mitzvahs. The fact that it's only because of Hashem's desire, which again means that he's beyond all parameters of good and evil, just like the adult is beyond the parameters of the toy, the different kinds of toys, so too for Hashem is truly beyond all the parameters of all definitions of good and evil. And Hashem happened to choose good. Does that mean that Hashem's connection to good and Hashem's despising evil is limited? It sounds like he happened to choose it this way. He could have chosen a different way. So it's a weak connection that he has to it. And that's why people learn this incorrectly, and that's why Tshuva could fix it, because Hashem has a weak connection to it in the first place. That's incorrect. When we say that Hashem chose something, what that means is that Hashem's connection to something is coming from himself. It's not, when you say that something is good or something is bad because of what it is, because this thing is, your mind says this is good, your mind says this is bad, so then it depends which mitzvah and which avera, and how deeply you feel about certain mitzvahs and how deeply you feel about certain averas. You say, this mitzvah is terrible, that avera is more than terrible, that avera is disgusting. So you look at, let's say, the avera of eating reptiles with more disdain than the avera of eating chazer. Chazer is not so bad, but reptiles, you know, that's the idea. So your disdain is based upon your palate, and how you feel about everything. And therefore, because your yardstick is your palate or your mind or your heart, so there's a limited disdain and a limited appreciation for whatever it may be. However, the Eibishter, who's beyond all parameters, his choice that he decides, that he wants to give us a mitzvah, that's a decision that comes from his essence, that's infinite. That's infinite. There's no boundary to the bond that Hashem has to a mitzvah. And there's no limit, and it's not, even the word infinite is wrong, to the disdain Hashem has for an avera. It's not just he happened to choose it. He chose it from his very essence, in the same place where the Talmud says we don't know what Hashem wants, and that same level of the essence of Hashem, which is beyond the limitations of good and evil, and we say about that level, we can't know what Hashem would want because he's beyond all parameters. At that same place within Hashem, meaning at that same place, Hashem himself, Hashem's essence, that is what shows that good is good and evil is evil. So then what does Tshuva do exactly? How does Tshuva rescue the divine sparks? And if you notice, Rebbe makes a distinction between the divine sparks and the sin itself. And it says the sin itself can't be rescued, but the divine sparks within the sin can be rescued. what's going on? How come the tzaddik cannot do this and Baal Teshuva could do this? What are we saying over here? If you have a Chon Hatzlan, the Nazis made soap with Jewish blood, right? So fat of Chon Hatzlan of the Jewish people. So you and let's say the soap is an excellent soap. It's excellent. It's the best soap there is. A normal person using such, if he didn't realize using such a soap, he would throw up. Why is the soap not a good soap? Is there not a good part of it also? But this disdain he has for the part that isn't good, that envelops the whole thing, so that he can't see anything good in it, because it's such something so disgusting in it, something so terrible in it. So then the benefit that he has from it is not only is it negligible, it's completely permeated with the prism that this is evil. He sees this as total evil, even after the fact. So in a similar way, when Hashem issues a mitzvah or says something is forbidden, does that mean there's also good things in the Avera? There's the sparks of Hashem that have fallen in that animate the non-kosher animal. Those things are good. How do you look at those divine sparks? How does a tzaddik look at the divine sparks? A service of Hashem, the service of Hashem of a tzaddik, is that a tzaddik is he is an entity, he is a thing, he is a human being, he is someone who loves Hashem in a way that we can't imagine. A love of delight, he delights in his love for Hashem. It's a pleasure that Vila Parcher used to say, if those who are into different lusts and passions will know the pleasure of a davening, pleasure of the love of Hashem, they'll leave all their passions and run to daven. We don't know what kind of pleasure that is. It's an amazing pleasure. But the tzaddik is still a someone. He still identifies as a human being who is someone who loves Hashem. So his service of Hashem doesn't completely negate his existence. So where does he connect to? He connects to the desire of Hashem. The desire of Hashem is also the source for creation. The desire of Hashem is what causes things to be good and things to be bad, and things to be defined as good or evil. The desire of Hashem is what makes things to be this way or that way. But what exactly is good and what exactly is evil? The Eibusha says, Natir Chazer. Does that mean the sparks of Dusha that are in the Chazer are also not good? Hashem just said, I don't like Chazer. I don't want you to eat Chazer. He didn't say Chazer itself isn't good. The sparks of Dusha which are in the Chazer, the sparks of Dusha which are in the non-kosher animal, why can't they be rescued? So the truth is, they can be rescued. But the reason why, from the perspective of the desire of Hashem, they can't be rescued is because at that level we're talking about how Hashem relates to creation and how things in creation have importance, have a natural importance, because Hashem desired them to be that way. And because they have some importance, therefore, if something is disdained, it's completely disdained. If something is desired, it's completely desired. However, if we're talking about the essence of Hashem, the essence of Hashem is not his decision to want something or not want something is not because of the parameters of the thing itself. It's because of him. And therefore, what is disdained and what is loved, only the thing he specifically says is disdained. He disdains the Aveda. He doesn't disdain the sparks of holiness which are in the Aveda. He's able to, from the perspective of the essence of Hashem, we can make a distinction between the sin itself and the divine energy which animates the sin. And that's why it's possible for the Baal Teshuva, with his Teshuva, he serves Hashem beyond his sense of self. He nullifies himself. He goes away from whatever he's used to. He challenges his whole lifestyle and comes closer to Hashem. That energy of the Baal Teshuva, no coffee today, sorry. The energy of the Baal Teshuva to completely reject his whole lifestyle and come closer to Hashem, that ability, the Baal Teshuva, is really, in other words, something about going beyond himself, going beyond the parameters of human being, going the parameters of an identity of self, of someone who loves Hashem or someone who serves Hashem. He's left those parameters. He's given up his whole lifestyle. And because he serves Hashem with bittul, with abnegation of self, therefore what he reaches in the service of Hashem is not just the desire of Hashem for mitzvahs, desire of Hashem for creation, the parameters of creation, the parameters of mitzvahs as they are, as we see them. This looks good to us in our eyes. This looks bad to us in our eyes. We see, from our perspective, we see a mitzvah has this value, a veira has this, is abhorrent because of this reason. That's how we are as human beings, as we are as part of creation. But if you look at it from the perspective of the essence of Hashem, the reason the mitzvah is desirable, and the reason the sin is abhorrent, is not because of the parameters of the thing itself. It's because the essence of Hashem chooses them to be that way. And because it's only because of the essence of Hashem that chose this thing to be abhorrent, it's only the exact thing that Hashem chose to be abhorrent. It's not like the analogy of the soap, where everything's abhorrent. Because we're talking about the essence of Hashem who chose the sin to be abhorrent. And Hashem is not in the parameters of creation where if you're looking at things from logic, looking at things from your palate, looking at things from your mind, so then if something is abhorrent, then the whole thing is disdainful. But from the perspective of the essence of Hashem, the only thing that is abhorrent is what Hashem chose to be abhorrent. And therefore, a Baal Teshuva could rescue the divine sparks and bring them back to holiness. Because he reaches in the essence of Hashem, who is not compartmentalized, he's not defined, he's not limited by his desires. So yes, Hashem is an infinite connection to a mitzvah, an infinite connection to an infinite disdain for sin. But that's only because he chose to be. And therefore, it's only the thing that he chose. Make any sense? No? Yes?
What's the ability to be able to choose? Choose life, choose good. That's the key.
Right. So Hashem, because...
If you're born into a perfect 99 and all you can do is get to 100, there's not much of a choice in your life. Right. And if you're born at a 50 and you go down to a 0, get up back to a 60, that's a huge change.
Right. So that's that this huge change that Baal Teshuva makes connects to the essence of Hashem, and that's why the Torah says that on Purim we're supposed to celebrate until you can't distinguish between cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai. The Baal Teshuva reaches a level that is beyond logic and reason, and therefore is able to transform that which is cursed, the divine sparks which are in the sin, and to transform them and to make them into a blessing. So it's in the beginning of this talk that I was making the point how the purpose of evil is for the sake of good. And therefore, we shouldn't look at evil as evil only, but we should realize the purpose of evil. Then we asked the question, so why is the Talmud add the words, so you don't know the difference between blessed as Mordechai and cursed as Haman? The reason they're the same numerical value is because they're the same. The purpose of evil is for good. The purpose of a descent is for an elevation. The purpose of this creation of Haman is to create something better through Haman. Fine. But why does the Talmud say, till you can't distinguish between them, which sounds like there is some difference between them? And the answer is that what is it that allows us to transform one to the other? It's us not knowing. It's us going beyond our logic and reason. From the perspective of our humanness, of even the humanness of a tzaddik, then the parameters are clearly, there's a clear demarcation between good and evil, and they can't be transformed. Only because of lo yada, only because the Jew serves Hashem beyond logic and reason, like in the story of, like we are meant to be in Purim, is it possible to connect to the essence of Hashem is beyond all parameters, and although Hashem chose something to be evil, that's only the exact choice of the sin, but not the sparks of Hashem which are in the sin. And therefore it's possible to rescue them. So now, the Rebbe goes back to discussing how this relates to this week's Torah portion. This idea of Inoizvav, this idea of Ad Lo Yoda, how does that relate to the Torah portion that's read in the time of, at this time of year, the Torah portion of Vayikra? In the beginning of Vayikra, it talks about a very lofty revelation. Hashem calls Moshe. And Rashi says, whenever Hashem gave Moshe a commandment, he said something to him, he always first called his name with love. So it's not just that Hashem first called his name with love, that chronologically first he called him with love and then he told him the commandment, but Rashi emphasizes this happened first because it was also something that was on something deeper than the commandment itself. There's something that was higher than whatever Hashem was going to tell Moshe, and that was the calling of his name with love. So it's beyond the commandments, beyond the mitzvahs. There is Hashem calling Moshe's name with love. And we also can tell that this was something higher because the Torah says he called to Moshe. It doesn't say who called to Moshe. Usually the Torah says Hashem spoke to Moshe. Hashem said. But here it says he called to Moshe. Because we're talking about Hashem himself, who was beyond all parameters and limitations, even beyond his name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, beyond any letter, beyond any description. Therefore it says he called. Something deeper in this calling of Moshe's name by Hashem himself, that's beyond the mitzvahs that Hashem would later tell Moshe after he called his name. That's the beginning. Beginning is beautiful. Wow, Hashem calls Moshe's name with love. What does the end of the Torah portion talk about? It talks about a soul that made a mistake. And not just an accident, but the very conclusion of the Torah portion is about someone that does a sin on purpose. And not just any kind of sin, someone who acts in a way that is treacherous. He acts in a way of betrayal to Hashem, Chas V'Shalom. And not only does he act in a way of betrayal, he actually makes an oath in Hashem's name for a lie. And the very last word of the Torah portion don't get any better, and it talks about his guilt. So it doesn't make sense. The name of a Torah portion is not just about the very first word. The name of the Torah portion is about the whole content of the Torah portion. This is the title of the whole Torah portion. This is the name of everything, including the very last sentence, the last words. Not only is it also connected to the last words, but it says in the Book of Formation that the beginning is always connected to the end. So that means the conclusion of the Torah portion, Vayikra, that God's love for Moshe, God calling Moshe by his name, must have a connection with the very last words, which the guilt of someone who lies in God's name. The question is, what connection can they possibly have to each other? So understand this, to go a little bit deeper into God's words, God calling Moshe by name. After Rashi says how much Hashem loves Moshe and Hashem calls Moshe by his name, Rashi says that Hashem doesn't do this for other prophets. Prophets of the nations of the world, Hashem doesn't have that same kind of relationship. That's why the Torah doesn't use the word Vayikra. When Hashem speaks to Bilam, for example, it says Vayikar, that is just a language which indicates impurity, a language which indicates something which is just coincidental. Hashem's relationship to them is coincidental, and Hashem is connecting to something impure. So the question is this. Why does Rashi have to tell us this? Why would you think that Hashem would have such a love to the prophets of the Gentiles? A love which is beyond Torah. And Rashi has to say, oh, by the way, you should know the Gentile prophets don't have this kind of relationship. If we're talking about extreme level of love that's beyond Torah, why do we think they would deserve that? And the answer is based upon what we learned, that we now know why. If Hashem was connecting to Moshe Rabbeinu from the perspective and the level of Torah, so then it's understood that no relationship to the nations of the world, because Hashem told us his commandments and not them. And in the non-Jewish studies Torah, there's a death penalty, as the Talmud says. So that's when you're looking at things from the perspective of Torah. However, since Hashem called Moshe before he gave him all the commandments, which again that means that it's something which is coming from the level, which is beyond the name Yudke Vavke, it's beyond the level of Torah. So you might think, since it's coming from Hashem's essence, so as the Talmud says, I don't know what Hashem wants. Does he want mitzvahs? Does he want averus? Does he want light? Does he want darkness? I don't know, because he's beyond all parameters. So therefore, it's possible that he would have the same kind of relationship with the Gentiles as well. And that's why Rashi comes and says that to the non-Jewish prophets, not only did he not call them with love, but on the contrary, the way he met them, the Torah uses an expression of impurity and he meets them coincidentally, but not with any. The term the Torah uses to describe the conversation is not one of love. The opposite. He happens to speak to them. Why is that, though? If we're talking about the essence of Hashem was beyond the limitations, so why is it just something that's coincidental? And with Moshe, it's not coincidental. Hashem is beyond all parameters. Why is Moshe better than Bilam from the perspective of the essence of Hashem? Hashem is beyond all parameters. And the answer is, as the Talmud says, as the Torah says, Esav is a brother to Yaakov. Indeed, they're equal. However, God says, although they're equal, Hashem says, I love Yaakov and I hate Esav. Hashem chooses to love Yaakov and to hate Esav. It comes from Hashem's essence. And this explains the connection between the beginning of the Torah portion and the end of the Torah portion. It's specifically those sins which are described in the end of the Torah portion. When those sins are transformed to mitzvahs, which the Torah says, the Torah describes the way to atone for those sins. The true meaning of atonement is that they're transformed to good, they're transformed to merit. That is that subject, the transformation of sin to mitzvah, transformation of again, not the sin itself, but the sparks of holiness in the sin to positive, to a mitzvah, that expresses the love of Hashem that Hashem uses and expresses in the beginning of the Torah portion. Where do you see the love of Hashem to a Jew that's beyond Torah, that in the fact that Hashem allows a Jew to transform a sin he's done on purpose into a mitzvah? Because of this love, even when a Jew violates the Torah and he acts like Esav, he acts exactly like Esav, Rachmanu Litzlan. Nevertheless, what happens? Hashem says, I love Yaakov and I hate Esav. Hashem says, I love the Jew, and Hashem causes Hashem forgives the Jew for the sins he's done on purpose, and those sins are turned into mitzvahs. It's precisely because Hashem is beyond all parameters that, because the love of Hashem has come beyond all parameters, that's possible to atone for and to transform these mistakes that are described in the Torah portion. Does that make sense?
Actually.
Okay, great.
What is the last sentence, though, of the Torah portion that you referred to?
About someone who's lying in Hashem's name.
Do you remember the actual sentence? La'ashmava
le'chomash.
I'm going to wrap that up.
Okay, the words of the Torah portion are... the priest shall make atonement for him before God by performing the rites, and he will be forgiven for any of all cases whereby one may commit a sin, include incurring guilt through it. It's when someone is denying possession of something he's stolen or an object he's meant to watch, and he swears in Hashem's name he doesn't have it, but he really does. And so the Torah says what sacrifices he should bring and how he should be atoned for, and this ability to atone for this, actually that expresses the what we're talking about here, the love of Hashem to Jewish people. Go stop here.